conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, he's playing Michael McDonald during the break.
You belong to me.
Oh, my gosh. He's not the GOAT. Stop with the GOAT stuff. For those of you that missed it.
How did we...
Lance is claiming that Michael McDonald is the GOAT. I just have to set him straight.
Yeah, we did something with Regulate, Warren G. I walked you through that. I'm trying to remember. RJ, how did we skid on that? How did Regulate become a topic?
Doobie Brothers.
Were you playing Doobie Brothers?
Is that okay. What happened?
Okay, that's probably what happened. Doobie Brothers, way more hits than you think they had. Chicago, no, too. Like a ton of hits between those two. Did you ever see Chicago play? When you lived in Chicago?
I've never seen Chicago, no.
And you got What a Fool Believes, obviously. Now, I want to ask you a quick question. Your life versus my life.
Okay.
See if you would trade in your life for mine. And if you would, that's fine. You don't have to, and you can tell Wendy, it's just a radio exercise. What did you do last night?
I went with another couple to Uptown Sushi, had a really nice dinner.
Okay.
It was wonderful. I love the steak on the rock thing. They cooked it on the hot rock.
Oh, yeah. I've had that over there
That's
before.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hey, Jose is great. It's wonderful sushi.
Okay.
I'm not a big sushi guy, but I like theirs.
I'm a big sushi guy. I like sushi. And I think they're good, too.
Have you ever been to the Sushi Emporium?
The discount Sushi Emporium?
Yeah.
Got sick.
You did? You got sick there?
Yeah. Got sick there. I'm actually, I think, going to go to MF Sushi. Have you ever been there?
MF is great. Yeah.
MF's really good.
Yeah.
So, here's what I did last night.
What'd you do last night?
And you don't have to feel bad. Like I said, you can just say, I wish I would have done that. So I went with my wife and four kids to sit outside at Miller Outdoor Theater for an 8:20 p.m. showing of King Lear, Shakespeare, and then got back to my house at about 11:05, 11:10 at night. Then had to take my shower and go to bed and get ready to wake up early. So what you missed was being outside in the humidity watching King Lear for about two hours and 40 minutes. 2 hours, 30 minutes. No, it was actors.
It was actors.
It was well acted, by the way. Really well acted. If you're a Shakespeare fan, you'll really like it.
Yeah.
If you're not a Shakespeare,
talk funny.
If you're not a Shakespeare fan,
raise your hand.
Then it's long. Acted. But long, if thou doth saith so myself.
So they talk funny. That's the problem for me with Shakespeare.
You got to really pay attention now. There's no subtitles. You just have to really pay attention.
Yeah, I can't watch it in
really
English.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Do you like hiking? Because that's something else I do. What rank in order these three things that I've recently done? Disc golf, plus two yesterday. I was trash. But disc golf... hiking, King Lear.
Okay.
How would you rank those three?
That's a tough one.
One through three. Yeah, I'm a baller, whatever. I live that kind of lifestyle.
So number one is disc golf. You're outside. At least you're doing something.
Yeah.
You're here. I mean, it's stupid. And
I would
and
also
it's a
agree.
Waste, a huge waste of time.
I would also agree. Disc golf is number one.
Disc golf is number one. Number two is King Lear. Okay. And three is hiking.
You're putting hiking all the way at three.
Because
here's the thing. Hiking with my wife is not just like where you can't just be on a four-mile long walk or whatever, seeing trees in a forest area. Oh, you open up and there's beautiful. I like that when it's a battle of endurance, when it's an endurance challenge, which is what my wife is looking for, endurance challenges. Like, what's the elevation we get to? Oh, anything less than, if it's less than 1,000 feet, not interested. Like, wow. I did one that was 750, 800 feet. To her, it was like, I don't even know, I'm wasting my time with this trash hike. I'm like, this hike is hard.
So
what are you talking
my
about?
My day yesterday was watching the Astros and drinking Coors Light and then going to dinner with another couple. That was my day yesterday. Yours was disc golf and King Lear.
And a physical. But I avoided.
You avoided it. You did?
What'd you say? Yeah, because I had a colonoscopy a year ago. He's like, okay, We don't have to do that.
Good thing he's, and not, I'm a, like, good thing he's not a pervert.
I said, no, the dog's not like, no, we're getting in there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no. Nope,
gotta dig.
You're not going to. We're not going to dig. Don't say the phrase, we're gotta dig. No one's looking
digging
for
gold in there.
We're not looking for coal. No one's doing a coal miner routine. But yeah, mine was, my day was disc golf.
Wow.
Yeah, a physical disc golf. And then King Lear, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah,
until 11 o'clock at night. And what did you do again?
I basically sat around, drank Coors Light, and watched the Astros.
Okay. Did you? Well, I had some Astros in there too, but did you, like,
and then
so do you want to trade or?
No, I'm.
I still got four kids that are potentially headed to college that have to be paid for.
Yeah.
If you want to trade lives,
I'm gonna stick with this one for okay. now. For now. Because all my kids are done, all done with college, all out of the house, all awesome. I love them, but you're going to have a really good time when they're all gone.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
I still have one daughter's wedding, and, you know, this thing is changing. Like, so I got other kids who are getting married. Drake's going to be getting married relatively soon. He's engaged, and so
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I got a lot to go here. I'm just kind of circling the four kids, and I put May, as you can see, I put
King Lear.
May not go to college. I can't say that for all of them. I think Alec is in the books. Maddie is definitely going to go, and we have Snacks and Mason, and we're just going to see if they can. Right now, I am actively pushing them to become YouTube influencers. Like, can y'all start a channel where y'all make millions doing that? I'll give my blessing. I know typically I think that's corny and cheesy, but I see how much money people are making.
Yeah.
And if you guys
OnlyFans
can do that.
Too.
Yeah, that's not really for guys, I don't feel like. I feel like OnlyFans is.
Apparently there are some couples on there.
Well, there's some guys who are trying to start OnlyFans, like fantasy football accounts and things like that. That's how OnlyFans originally envisioned that. One of the things they could be used is, hey, we're just a content provider where the person can own their own platform. And immediately, here come the exotic dancers. What about this? Can they pay for this?
Okay. Don't do that because people can see you on Twitch.
Well,
okay, don't pull back and then grab
yourself.
You can
also see me on my OnlyFans account.
Okay. No. All right.
No one's getting NFL draft OnlyFans information. You know why? Because nobody's OnlyFans account is going to matter if you're a male. If you're
females
should
pay for stuff too.
I'm sorry.
Isn't there a place here that's been open forever? A male strip club that's open?
They're closed.
Is it closed?
Right down Richmond. It's closed. Of course. You know why it's going to be replaced by fart in a bottle female OnlyFans location where they're, you know, it's a whole work from that location.
Boob sweat.
It's unbelievable what women are getting paid for right now.
It is true.
We're grinding away on, I want you to take a look at my draft information.
Yeah.
I've got some boob sweat. Oh, we'll pay for that. We'll do a monthly subscription to that. What about my ratings for my running backs? No.
No,
I can get that anywhere on Instagram. I don't care about that. Well, I'm working hard watching a bunch of tape. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Fart in a bottle.
Toenail clippings. That's going to make more than you, Lance.
That's true.
Sit on a chair in a sedentary lifestyle doing your draft stuff with your hips hurting because you've sat in a chair for 7 straight hours, and then compare what you make against the toenail clipping girl. And then, and that's what she's making in a month, what you make in a year. Sleep tight.
Sounds good. Sounds like a life. 812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Promise we're going to get to Justin Verlander sound on the other side because Justin Verlander's happy. And you know what? If Justin Verlander's happy, we should be happy.
Probably best that we keep him happy.
Yep. Listen, I've been driving the F-150 Lightning the last couple of days. I got to give it back today, and it sucks to give it back because it is awesome, people. Awesome, awesome, awesome. If you get a chance, go to Chastain Ford and sign up that you want to get on the list, okay? I'm not sure how long it's going to take because it's unbelievable demand for these things. You know what else is in demand? Is fixing your vehicles. And how about this? Chastain Ford has a mobile service. They will actually go to your business and fix your cars. So it's a mobile service. And how about this? They can prevent stuff from going on. If you've got a fleet or if you just got a couple of vehicles, it's going to be as cheap as going to the deal. You taking it to the dealership, and they come to you to fix it. That's what they're doing at Chastang Ford with their mobile service. So they've got competitive pricing for mobile callouts, competitive maintenance prices, easy billing and payments. They've got everything that you could possibly need. They come to you. That's what's happening at Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is all about service for the people. If you've got a business and you've got vehicles that need work, they will come to you with their mobile service. Go to Chastang Ford right now, ChastangFord.com, and find out for yourself. It's so easy. It's so wonderful, and it's what Chastang Ford does. It's Chastang Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
About my friends, about to go and damn near went blind. Young got the path throwing up.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Side to side.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Justin Verlander is happy. That's the important thing. Verlander tonight against the Guardians. It's Verlander against Plesac tonight. Got a four-game weekend series in Cleveland starting tonight. So Verlander starts, and he is happy. Now, we've talked about this. He's probably going to opt out of his $25 million contract for next year. I would say it's probably a lock, right? I mean, he did it this year.
Why would he not?
No, because it can make...
I mean, if he were pitch, if he had a 3.15 ERA or whatever, all right, maybe not, even though I still think he would have gotten paid, but sub-2?
Right.
Cy Young Award winning year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he got paid 2 years he didn't pitch, but he's probably going to say, listen, hey, I'll give you a deal. $39 million a year. I won't go after 40. 39 a year. All right. 2 years, $78 million. That's a bargain.
Yeah.
And realistically, that's one of the things. Right now, you see where Justin Verlander pitches. Is there any difference between Justin Verlander and Tom Brady right now? I would argue Justin Verlander's
more
better.
Titles.
No, but what I mean is right now where Justin Verlander is. I know they're different ages, but where Tom Brady is, 6 years older than Justin Verlander, but where Tom Brady is considered a much older quarterback, Justin Verlander is considered a much older pitcher. Based on how Tom is playing and how Justin Verlander is playing, do you see any difference? People aren't expecting Tom Brady to fall off right now. Is there any reason to believe Justin Verlander is going to fall off?
No.
He's literally putting together one of his greatest seasons in his career right now.
Yeah.
So why would you not, if you're the Yankees, why wouldn't you say, we'll go 2 for $90. We'll bring you in for $90 million, $45 million a year.
Because
why would you not do that if you're the Dodgers?
Well, if you're the Yankees, because the last pitcher you got from the Astros just gave up 3 homers in the first inning.
Yeah. What about the Dodgers?
The Dodgers could do it. They lost.
By the way, I don't think the Yankees are afraid because of Garrett Cole signing Verlander. But why would the Dodgers not say, "Here's $90 million for 2 years"?
Yeah, they don't care about money there.
Are you scared? I think it's not going to be about just bouncing. Now, LA scares me because of the Cade Upton thing, but the fact that he came back here for the Astros tells me that Justin Verlander more than likely felt like he kind of owed the Astros more than likely.
Yeah.
And maybe he has,
and he must have had some doubts because for $25 million he took a pay cut of $10 million a year.
Yeah, so I do think there is that where Justin Verlander may act in good faith to just be an Astro if he gets a fair number.
And this really helps. I said this before. The most important thing about this trade deadline is making sure that Justin Verlander is happy. You want to obviously you want to win. Obviously you want to better your team, to give yourself this chance. But if Justin Verlander wasn't happy right now with what the Astros and James Click and Jim Crane did at this deadline, there would be no chance he's coming back. Now he said, look at the message that was sent to the team.
I think the message is just, okay, like this is our squad. You know, these are the guys we're going to go to war with now. I think you know, we all have the same goal, and that's to win a world championship. And this is the guys up around the locker room. These are the guys we're going to try to do it with. So hunker down and let's go.
James, that wasn't as fruitful as I remember, as excited as I remember. He did applaud the Astros' moves. He is happy, and he had to be happy watching Trey Mancini hit that home run. And Mancini, after the game, he talked to Julia, but we got the other sound of Trey Mancini. Mancini cannot be a happy – he's got to be the happiest person in – he just is nothing but exuding exuberance every time he's got a microphone in front of him, how happy he is to be in Houston and get his first hit.
How special was that for you to make an impact quickly?
It was really special. You know, I just wanted to go out there and contribute to a win. You know, that was the goal today. So, yeah, it was a really special moment, and I just have felt so welcome here, and it was just a really fun game, really fun game today.
Can you tell us about when you're trotting down first baseline, you took a look at the dugout?
Yeah, I just saw a couple guys getting excited, so I, you know, just kind of pointed at them, and I was pretty pumped up in the moment. So, like I said, just a really, you know, special moment, and definitely one of the highlights of my career.
One of the highlights of his career. That's high praise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
he's been in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
But then again, highlights of my career is also winning 83 games and finishing above 500 ever.
Right.
I mean, look how bad Baltimore's been. That really says something. When he says it's one of the highlights of his career that he hits a home run.
Well, his first day with the new team.
I know, but still, one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Home run in a regular season game. I get you
being
excited about it.
Well, this is a guy who beat colon cancer.
Well, that's not a career, but yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, you could have said the highlight of my career was my first at-bat after beating colon cancer. Instead, it's like,
right.
I mean, that home run was pretty sweet. That home run was pretty sweet. You know where I played? Where'd you play? Baltimore.
Yeah.
Have you checked their win totals over the last several years? Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Low.
So
remember how bad the Astros were before they became this Astros? Yeah, that's Baltimore. Not this year. They're better this year.
So we haven't gotten to this. Vernon Maxwell. We played the sound of him. What was the other stuff?
It was a couple
of
days
so
ago.
So beeped out, there was very little
about
that we heard.
Him guarding Jordan.
About Jordan,
like
yeah.
That,
guarding
yeah.
Jordan.
Listen, we're going to warn you. This is extremely beeped out. It's either RJ putting beeps in where the original podcast didn't, because the original podcast bleeped a lot of stuff out so that they could put it on social media, but they left the S word, they left GD in there, so RJ had to tighten it up even more. So I'm hoping this is understandable for the listeners because it's
really hard because every other word is beeped out. Just about.
It's so funny. When you hear this, I want you to go back and check Vernon Maxwell's Twitter account. And I want you to really be sure that's Vernon running that since people have told me, Vernon says it's him. It's him. It ain't Vernon running a Twitter account. Read his Twitter account. Read any of his posts. Well, I see Utah Jazz fans are at it again, missing their shots, and they don't have cable television. And Vernon Maxwell would be dropping MFs on his Twitter the same way he does on this podcast.
He can't go a word. There's zero chance that's Vernon on Twitter. He can't go a sentence without a beep. You'll see most of this is bleeped out. I hope you can understand it. This is Vernon talking about the time he almost stabbed Hakeem Olajuwon at halftime.
Stabbed
him in the locker room.
This lap. Gotcha. He walked up on me he walked up on me in Seattle. I mean, that long ass walk from the court in Seattle, that long ass walk. Got a long ass walk back to the locker room from the floor at halftime. I'm mad as hell. I probably got about 4 or 5 points. I'm spitting on the floor while I'm walking in the locker, walking back that long ass hall. He walking behind me. I'm like, man, this some bullshit. Man, y'all motherfucking get up that damn rock. I'm up in the pass that bitch, kick it up. Let me go on tack. These motherfuckers, I'm spitting and dream. Man, stop that. Man, be a professional, man. I dream, man. I don't want to hear that smell. You dream. That's why I told him he walking behind me. So they always put us in the locker room by with him, me. I'm like, I don't want to be by this. So, but they had me by him all the time. So he came in the locker room, and I got my head down. Like, man, I don't want to hear this, man. Motherfucker said, man, get up that damn rock, man. You know, so, and then I seen these two motherfucking etonic motherfuckers shoes. Some motherfucker wore tonics. Some motherfucker big tonic ass shoes stepping between my mother legs. I've got my legs spread. I'm sitting down. These big ass tonics stepping between my legs. I looked up like to say, man, go ahead. Bow! I said, damn, this motherfucker slapped at me. And you know, the raps got them hard ass hands. Big old long hard crust ass gray ass hands and motherfucker cut a piece of meat with their hands. That motherfucker hit me so hard, man, knocked me out the chair. I jumped up, grabbed my chair and threw it at the motherfucker and bust the glass all in the damn locker room. Everybody running out, police coming in with the guns drawn and like, what the hell going on in here? Max, please put it down. Oh, Lord. I'm saying, damn, they got the guns on me at a professional halftime, man, a professional game, man.
That's basketball, though. That's what the...
Back in the day. I'm like, these motherfuckers have put it down, man. Put that damn knife. I broke the glass. I picked up a big piece of glass. I was going to chase Dream and stab the out of him. But then that's when everybody ran out of the damn locker room, so I couldn't get to nobody. So. But then it's just, I mean, but that's how it was before.
That's how it was. He pushed me to the limit. Yeah.
Now, after that, he became Muslim. He was so quiet, so humble, so wanted me to become Muslim and everything. I couldn't do it.
I never heard that part.
I didn't either.
He wanted me to become Muslim. I couldn't do it.
That is funny.
Akeem, I have someone I want to convert. Mm. Yeah, we looked over the list you gave us. We're going to have to... Mm. Take Vernon Maxwell off of here.
Sure, Vernon fits.
Of course, Steven Jackson converted, so I don't know, maybe Vernon Maxwell. But Vernon was different. It's funny because, RJ, you made a comment. You don't really know Vernon like that. Like, you're too young to really know Vernon. What was your question? You made a comment about Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah, I was like, is Vernon like a cusser like that? Like, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Kenny Smith say, you know, like, oh, yeah, I mean, Mad Max always had a screw loose, but this was my first time really listening to Vernon Maxwell, so I was like, I didn't know he had a mouth.
Vernon
like that.
Maxwell, and I had to tell you,
dude,
Vernon Maxwell pulled a gun on a guy at a stoplight because he didn't like the way he was driving. So at a stoplight, he brandished his gun on a guy in Houston. He got in trouble for that. He hit Carl Herrera with a weight. His teammate in a locker room hit him with the weight. He went into the stands against the Portland Trailblazers. Went it about center court, went up about 12 rows high and slapped a guy named Steven George, who was a fan who was watching the game. I guess Vernon picked him out, slapped him during the game. Vernon tried, obviously, to stab Akeem. And if you think any of that was hyperbole, I will guarantee you Vernon Maxwell tried to stab him with some glass. Now, people running in with their guns drawn, the police, I don't know about that. I'd never heard that. But Vernon Maxwell, that Mad Max. And then, of course,
you know that locker room cleared out, though, when he had that glass, that shattered
glass.
Oh, no,
everyone was afraid of Vernon Maxwell. Oh, no. I mean, he and Carl Herrera got into it, and he hit him. He threw a weight and hit Carl Herrera with the weight. Vernon Maxwell also, some people might forget this historically, not if you're following the Rockets really closely. Vernon Maxwell quit.
Yeah,
in 95, when the Rockets won their second of their back-to-back titles, they traded for Clyde Drexler. Vernon and Clyde were on the same team. They were making it work for a while. It was kind of a disaster the second half of the season. Dream was hurt for much of the year. That's why they were in the sixth seed, and then it all came together. But Vernon Maxwell quit. He quit during the playoffs, right?
Yep.
In Utah playoffs.
Yep.
He quit, I think, after game two. He just quit. And that was, did Vernon ever play again?
No, I don't believe so. No.
Did he quit basketball? I can't be right. He didn't quit basketball, did he?
I don't remember Vernon playing any. Well, how could you take him back after he quit during the playoffs?
Not for the Astros. I mean, not for the Rockets. Did he play with anybody else after
that? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, yeah, I said he played in the early 2000s. Oh, after the Rockets, sure. He played for the Sixers. The Spurs, the Magic, the Hornets, the Kings, the Sonics, the Sixers, the Mavericks.
Really?
Yeah, Vernon Maxwell played for. That's always when you know you got a guy. I mean, when you have a guy with that talent, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He had 10 different stops, 8 different teams. But Mad Max was a guy who could literally shoot you in, shoot you out.
Yep.
Like Vernon could miss 17 shots
in
the game
D you up.
And hit the game winner. Yep. Like he did against the Spurs in the corner one game. where I'll never forget he hit this fallaway jumper after he was horrific the whole game. Vernon was just different. Let's break it right here.
Yep, we got to take a break. And when we come back, hey, we haven't even – I got to mention the live – okay. Yeah, Art, we're going
to
mention golf.
Well, we have to get to Ian Parks next.
Oh, that's next.
Who is our – yeah, he's calling from overseas, so we'll get to him next. He's a Formula One feature writer with the New York Times, and this is like the hottest sport growing right now. So when we come back, Ian Parks will join us. It's 8:30 right here on the bench.
Right now we got Doc Linville, and if you're looking for hair, Doc Linville is here for you. If you're looking for the best way to get hair and move your hair up your head, it's Doc Linville. He's got the Neo Grafting, which is just the easiest process that I've ever seen. There are other ways that you could get this done, and it just hurts. I'm telling you. It was such an easy process with Doc Linville. He has turned – he's only been doing this for, about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, and he's one of the top hair replacement guys in the city. And he did it for me, and I got to tell you, it just is so great. It is so wonderful moving the hair up from the side of your head to the top of your head, and you just feel better about it. You feel so much better, and you can do this. You can get this job done. Look, stop that you're, oh, I don't know. I don't want to. It's easy. It's simple. Go to 975hair.com. Find out for yourself. Get a free consultation. 975hair.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ian Parks joining us right now, freelance Formula One feature writer at the New York Times and editor-in-chief at GP Fans. Joining us now from England, we really appreciate it. Ian, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Lance. Good morning, John. Good morning, Houston. How are you?
We are wonderful. And we wanted to talk some Formula One because of how popular season 4 going on right now on Netflix of Drive to Survive. What is that series meant for Formula One worldwide, Ian?
I would suggest that it has opened up so many new avenues to the sport that previously were inaccessible. Let's put it this way, that the sport was run by a gentleman by the name of Bernie Eccleston, a name I'm sure both you guys must have heard of. He basically controlled Formula One for 40 years with a vice-like grip. He controlled the contracts with the circuits, controlled the contracts with the TV companies, and he did not know how to move beyond those two spheres. When social media started to explode, he did not know how to exploit it. He openly admitted in an interview with me at one point, and with other media as well, he did not know what to do with Twitter, did not know what to do with Instagram and Facebook. And when I say he didn't know what to do, he didn't know how to make money, was the bottom line. He didn't know how to exploit social media for monetary gain. So when City Media came on board, and I'm sure you've heard of them as well. They're part owners of the Atlanta Braves. They managed to use their nous in media work and broadcasting to explore these avenues that Bernie Eccleston, as I say, did not know what to do with. And one of these avenues that Liberty Media brought on board was the Netflix series Drive to Survive, which, as you've just pointed out, has been hugely popular. It's allowed a global audience to have an insight into the drivers in particular, their characters, their personalities, and those are the team principals as well to a certain extent. I know Gunther Steiner is hugely popular in the States, of course. And finally, Formula One has a face, whereas previously, under Bernie Eccleston, it didn't have that before.
Ian Parks joins us right now. He is the freelance Formula One writer for the New York Times and editor-in-chief at GP Fans. You know, this is something, Ian, that I ask our producer to go find us a good guest to talk about this, because I'm not blind to the fact that from a culture, from a pop culture standpoint, there's been a huge explosion in F1. And I think it's interesting that NASCAR, for example, a racing in the same sport, at least, a race, you know, in terms of racing, there's a perception there that may be reality, but there's definitely a perception. However, F1 is about money, and it's about prestige, and it's about celebrity and parties and lifestyle. At least that's what a lot of people see it as. Talk about how the lifestyle aspect and how the money that surrounds F1 and some of the way some of these drivers are absolute stars has really altered the landscape for how the public perceives this racing as opposed to something like NASCAR, even though I certainly understand they're completely different styles of racing.
Yeah, I get that. And this harks back to what Netflix and Drive to Survive has done, that it's given an insight into the world of Formula One that previously was only glimpsed from the outside looking in. Formula One is very much this goldfish bowl type of sport where it has its paddock, it has the teams within the paddock, the media as well are within that paddock, and we're able to offer a voice to the sport. But never before has Netflix and Drive to Survive managed to get behind the scenes, get underneath the skin of the sport, and give it this face, this personality, and allow us to see these drivers as they really are, as human beings. Previously, you were watching a Formula One race in the grandstand, and all you ever really saw of a driver was his helmet inside the cockpit, or if you were very lucky, you were positioned on the main straight, and you saw the podium ceremony at the end of a Grand Prix. Now, you get, as I say, these personalities, and they are expressing themselves and being the people that, just like you or I, they're just ordinary human beings at the end of the day. And yes, they have these great lifestyles. They earn vast amounts of money for what they do because at the end of the day, motor racing, as we all know, is a hugely dangerous sport, be it Formula One, NASCAR, IndyCar. And it's, as I say, lends itself to opening up this new world of F1 that wasn't seen before. And we're getting to see something now about Formula One. And it's attracted such a diverse audience. I think that's what's been great over these past couple of years. But mm-hmm. you go to a Grand Prix now, and you see huge swathes of female fans calling for Lando's name. Lando Norris, obviously one of the McLaren drivers, has become hugely popular. Young personalities, Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen, all these young guys that are coming through. And you have, as I say, it's wide diversity of audience, young female fans, young male fans, of course, as well. They're engaging with the sport, and it's just, as you say, it's just exploded, and it's been fantastic covering it as well.
I do want to point out, in Austin, the F1 last year had it was a 3-day event.
It was huge.
400,000 people over a 3-day event, including on Sunday, where Verstappen beat Lewis Hamilton. 140,000 people at that one.
Ian, whose career you got going forward, Verstappen or Hamilton?
Sorry, I didn't quite ask the question there.
Whose career do you think will be better going forward, Verstappen or Hamilton?
Well, you've got to appreciate there that these two drivers are at opposite ends of their careers. Lewis is 37 now. He's a 7-time champion. He's going for that 8th title before he eventually retires, which we assume will be maybe 2 or 3 years' time at the end of this one. And the 8th title is significant because that would make him the most successful driver in Formula One history. At the moment, he stands tied on 7, the all-time great Michael Schumacher. Max is still only 24. It looks almost certainly as if he's going to win his 2nd world title this year. And who knows, he could be himself challenging by the time he's in his mid-30s, if he wishes to continue for that length of time. He could be challenging that record that currently Lewis and Michael hold. So at the minute, he's the driver in the ascendancy, but make no doubt about it, Lewis still has that hunger, that passion, that desire to win. He had a difficult season this year with Mercedes. The Mercedes team has not adapted to the new regulations that came in at the start of the season as the Red Bull team that Max Verstappen drives for and the Ferrari team that Charles Leclerc drives for. So, as I say, opposite ends of the careers, but both absolutely still hungry and passionate. And when those two get on track and they're side by side, there are fireworks. And with Mercedes slowly improving this season, I think you might see some fireworks over the second half of this season once the teams come from the summer break that they're just embarking on for the next couple of weeks now.
It's the fastest growing sport easily in the world right now. And the Netflix special has certainly driven a lot of that, although, you know, the sport has been around for a long time and has been popular in a smaller group of people. But now 400,000 people over 3 days in Austin. You've got a $90 million a year, 3-year deal with ESPN for F1 racing. It is really taking off. So we wanted to get an expert on to talk about that. Ian Parks, freelance Formula One feature writer at the New York Times and also editor-in-chief at GP Fans. Ian, thanks so much for calling us today and being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Really great pleasure to be here. Thanks, guys.
Ian Parks with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Look, you've got an issue. Something happened. I don't know if it's criminal. I don't know if it's civil. I don't know if someone harmed you. I don't know if you were in a major accident, if it was an 18-wheeler, if it was some kind of an accident that you're not getting paid on. Your insurance company is not taking care of the business for you. You're having a dispute with your insurance company. You're having a dispute with a doctor. Whatever the case may be, no matter what it is, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm is going to take your call. They're going to hear what your issue is, and they are going to try to help you. If they can help you, they will. Se habla español. Do you have any issue with immigration? Because they got an entire department there handling that. And se habla español so that and not, there's not only immigration issues for, you know, Mexican nationals or whatever the case may be. Anybody who's here trying to deal with immigration, you've got the Morley Law Firm here for you. So if you're looking for this kind of service, if you need help, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
They can come closer than close, yeah. Original, they never will be. We bump it from coast to coast, yeah, yeah. We just trying to make you see. Nobody does it better.
I'm sitting here. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. Here's a legitimate question by Art. Does everyone have on shoes today? Did everyone bring... RJ, are you wearing shoes today? He's got shoes on.
Yeah.
RJ's got shoes on.
Art, if you're watching Twitch, here's the Ultra Boost. By the way, I got in trouble for wearing these.
You remembered to wear them today?
I mean, not these. I got in trouble for wearing... I brought these Ultra Boost and a red and black pair when we gave the Joe Moore Award. I packed two when we went to Michigan and last year for the Joe Moore Award, and I was literally asked to go change my shoes. Aaron Taylor, who he started the award, we were downstairs in the hotel. He goes, dude, you really wore those colors today? I'm like,
red?
It's a red and black shoe. What's the problem? He goes, we're going to catch so much crap. I promise you, the coaches are going to say stuff, the strength coaches, the players. I said, I've got some blue and gold, like maize and blue. He goes, why would you not wear that when we're going to give the award to Michigan? Go get the maize and blue shoes on. I'm like, okay, I guess it's that, but it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Like burnt orange or maroon are very distinctive. Oh wait, that's right. Y'all aren't rivals. I forgot. Y'all both say you're not rivals. Only you actually are.
Hate each other. You talk about each other
all the time. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to go change my. But luckily, I brought shoes on that trip too. And I've had dreams about not having shoes or not having clothes on at school, you know, at stuff like that. You have those dreams, but it's actually a real nightmare where at least twice that I can recall, I forgot to bring shoes to work. Where one time I put on golf spikes, and this is when it was clink, clink, clink.
Yeah, no, they were metal spikes.
And then this time I had to drive back to the house and go get shoes. Not today, but yesterday.
Yeah.
Two days ago I had to go get shoes. Speaking of golf shoes,
the nine players are suing the PGA Tour, which is pissing off a lot of guys. A group of LIV golfers are suing 11 members, excuse me, of LIV Golf, including Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour on Wednesday. They're seeking a temporary restraining order in the U.S. District Court for to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. The Tour is expected to respond by defending its practices and arguing that the plaintiffs do not face a real emergency. So they want a temporary restraining order against the Tour to allow these players to join the playoff. Experts say, nah, it's not going to happen. The judge will not grant them a temporary restraining order. And where is the damage? Is that if you are going to sue for damages, the question is going to be, what are the damages that you are facing?
Yeah.
Because you knew the consequences and you signed for whatever it was. You are not being prohibited from playing golf. You're just playing golf in a different place. They are also going to argue that the majors are conspiring with the tours and are going to hold them out of majors in the future because they've joined the LIV Tour.
But you have to be a tour member to play, right?
You do not have to be a tour member to play.
You don't
in majors.
Have to be a PGA Tour member?
No, you do not. There's players from all over the world that play in all the majors.
I know, but they also play in... They also play
tours.
PGA Tour events, though, too.
Well, no.
Or they have to have a PGA Tour card.
No, they do not. Not to play in majors.
You don't?
No. There's a lot of amateurs that play. There is a lot of British Tour.
Well, they can qualify, yeah.
Well, a European Tour.
Are there certain majors?
No. You it's they're
Well, you
open.
Don't have to have a tour card?
Well, you have to be invited to the Masters. You have to be. Right, right.
Well, it looks like Bryson DeChambeau
is not invited.
Well,
Dustin Johnson is a former champion, so he's going to be able to go always. But apparently, the head of the Masters is conspiring and has been conspiring with the tours to keep other players, LIV players, out, players that don't qualify and haven't won the Masters, to keep them out in the future. So that's one of the issues that that the PGA Tour and the majors are going to be facing. So it'll be interesting to see. This is the first salvo launched in the courts, and I don't think it's going to be the last. It'll be interesting to see, because if now they did file it, by the way, where in the Northern District of the U.S. District Court of Northern District of California, where the college players beat the NCAA. So this is the same court, and it's the same, you know, it's that same attitude towards players versus.
They're hoping, but these are already professionals versus people who are trying to get paid. So I don't know that it's. We'll see if there's any correlation.
Right.
I mean, you know, good on them for trying to come up with that. I think that, you know, to me, the PGA Tour has a right to protect itself. And to protect itself, I don't see why you can't say, hey, it's, you know, they are a private club, so they can make a determination about what stands in their club for members. How are you going to... What other clubs are forced to go back and say, you know, you're not allowed to tell people what they can and can't do? I mean, I get both sides of the argument, but ultimately you can say, look, we are being damaged. We are having we are losing players to a competitor. We don't have to give in to our competitor and allow our competitor to thrive by acting as a brand for more awareness for these players. Because let's face it. I think you can make a very, if I'm a lawyer, I say, let's go look at the LIV attendance. Let's go look at the, it costs $1 to go to events there. Let's go look at LIV attendance. Let's go look at LIV TV ratings. And let's look at PGA. You're not benefiting from basically promoting these players who are playing on the LIV tour. You're not promoting them by allowing them to play in these in these other events that are PGA sanctioned? You absolutely are. That's the platform. The LIV platform, you know, it sounds glamorous until you actually watch. When I finally saw what their attendance looked like in the TV ratings, I was like, oh my God, it's just a bunch of money and a bunch of big names. And does anyone, have you seen one tournament?
Not once. And I'm a big golf fan. I haven't seen it yet.
Argument is the PGA Tour is doing all the work in terms of building your brand. LIV is just throwing a bunch of money at you, and they're hoping that your brand builds up their TV ratings.
Which was built on the PGA Tour.
If I'm PGA, I'm like, no, we're not going to continue to build up. You're asking us to build up a competitor's brand that will eventually hurt us and maybe even beat us.
Right. Well, but the majors are not associated with the PGA Tour, so it'll be interesting to see. First of all, you have
they to... May not have a, you they have may to, not have a leg to stand on that, on the basis of what you're talking about legally.
Right.
If they're not, if you don't need PGA membership. Now, invitation only, that is what it is. Like, if they decide not to invite PGA other than...
Well, yeah.
Right? How do you...
A lot of it, it's going to be interesting to see how the world golf rankings are, how LIV golfers are affected by the world golf rankings, because in a lot of instances, you, if you're a top 50 player in the world, you are you gain automatic entry into major events, and there's a lot the World Golf Tour has a lot to do with the world golf rankings have a lot to do with getting into majors as well. So it'll be interesting to see if this court, which sided with the players in the against the NCAA, if they side with the players against the PGA Tour here. Well, it's going to take a while, but at least they've fired the first. I knew that this was always going headed to court. Always headed to court. Yeah, it absolutely has been. All right, so that is already the Ryder Cup. You can't play in the Ryder Cup if you're not part of it. So we'll find out whether or not you can play. You're going to be able to, going forward, what the courts say about the majors and whether or not they're conspiring to keep these guys out. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you are more than welcome to do that. 8:57 right now. Time for you to talk a little kinetics.
Yeah, QC kinetics, big difference maker for people who suffer from chronic pain. A lot of people, it's been pretty simple. You go get your steroid shots in your knee or your back or your shoulder, your hip, whatever it is. And then the inflammation goes down and you're a little better. And then, of course, it gets bad again. And if you have too many of them over the course of a year, it can be very degenerative and can cause major issues. And then you wait. Okay, it's time for me to get surgery. Now I'll be out of commission for this long. And let me take these painkillers. And it's really terrible. There's got to be a better way. Well, there is a better way. QC Kinetics. What QC Kinetics does is they take healing properties in your body. They highly concentrate it once it's outside the body. They put it back into the joints, and it acts as a regenerative and restorative property that can heal damaged tissue and regrow damaged tissue. This is truly incredible. We're talking about healing or regrowing tissue so that it is no longer damaged. I had a guy, Ken, who reached out in direct message. He said his pain was at an 8 for a labrum tear in his shoulder. After one treatment, it went to a 5. That's when he's doing nothing. And then after treatments 2 and 3, it was down to a 2. That's the difference that they can make. Chronic pain doesn't have to be chronic. You can use all-natural biological therapies that really do a much better job than the drugs and the surgeries and the shots and the downtime you have to deal with. Why don't you call QC Kinetics and try to get back to living your best life and add mobility and decrease the pain that you're experiencing? 713-913-5285. The reviews have been exceptional. You can Google them and find out for yourself. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics right here in Houston.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.